Time to go into California and check in with John Morosi. He knows what's going on. Insider MLB Network and MLB on Fox 8. JP, how you doing?
Outstanding, gentlemen, and please excuse the little bit of a raspiness of my voice. I really, truly gave the very last vocal cord I had to the WBC the last couple of days.
Well, it's cool because chicks dig raspy. I think that's... All right, never mind.
So I'm told.
Marcus Stroman, outstanding yesterday, as good as you want him to be and as good as Blue Jay fans would like to see him for as many games as they can during the regular season. What do you see?
Phenomenal, Elliot. I really think he made a great adjustment after the first start that he had against Puerto Rico last week. Really seemed like he was, whether he was tipping his pitches in the first one or just really refined his stuff. But I really thought he got his sinker down so well and really was in command totally the entire game.
Tricky to judge the tournament. It went from it had peaks and valleys, and you can imagine in Canada people dipped right out after the disappointing performance of the Canadians to maybe getting back in by the semifinals or so. How has it been perceived in the U.S.? It goes up against March Madness. It goes up against, you know, the middle of NFL free agency. So was it tougher for this tournament to get headlines or did it grow in the last few days, John?
Well, Greg, it's a great question because with the way that obviously the scheduling works, and as you point out, that this is going up against March Madness here in the States, but the ratings we're told were very strong, comparable in some respects to the games that we've done in the postseason on MLB Network the last couple of days. So really, it's been encouraging. I think too, look at the big picture, and I think it's important domestically for the U.S. to have won this tournament to really revive and sustain the interest in this tournament among American baseball fans. I think one thing, Greg, is you see the way the other countries celebrate their game and their culture that we see now manifested in baseball, that I think part of that comes from, and the way we see it in the WBC, is they don't have capital M, capital L, capital B, Major League Baseball games in their countries all year long. And I think in some respects, American fans are spoiled by that. So to really move the needle, you've got to win, and I think you've got to really have an inspiring backstory. And I think this team was very charismatic. They played some very memorable games against both the Dominican and Puerto Rico in particular. The Colombia game was fantastic. So there were really a lot of great games. And, of course, the game against Japan in the semifinals was a very dramatic game as well. So yeah, I think we saw some very good personalities. And I think that the point I'll make on Stroman, too, is he really does have a sense of the moment. And he seemed totally at ease. You saw his body language, a little shimmy in the shoulders. He glared over the Puerto Rican dugout at one point in time. I mean, he was ready for this game. And I think it's important to note, too, that Marcus, he was booed both times by Puerto Rican fans. The two times he pitched against Puerto Rico, because, of course, as you know, his mother's Puerto Rican. He could have pitched for Team Puerto Rico in this tournament. The Puerto Rican fans were aware of that, and they let him hear it a couple times during the course of the last week or so. And I think it was really a credit to Marcus that he was able to manage his emotions. And he talked afterward on the field with me about how he knew it was a tough tough week or so for his mom. I mean, she was hearing it on social media, which really is uncalled for. But it was really a great story for the Stroman family, and Marcus really, again, he adds to his big game resume. And as John Smoltz was talking about on our broadcast, Marcus really has a good job of feeling like at any given time he's on the field, he's the most confident, best athlete on the field. And certainly that was the truth the last couple of times he's been out there.
From MLB Network and MLB on Fox, it's John Morosi, who has obviously been with this tournament right from the beginning. So every tournament, I mean, every time they have this WBC, they learn a little bit more about how to go about their business and how to make it better. What do you think they learned this time that's going to improve it for next time?
Well, I think, Elliot, the word that Rob Manfred, the commissioner, used yesterday in talking about it was he believes this is a watershed moment in the life cycle of this tournament, that really it certainly captured the most domestic attention. It set a new global attendance record from the standpoint of this tournament. Over 1 million fans for, I believe, 31 games, which is really pretty good when you start to do the math there and figure out what major league teams consider to be very good attendance figures over the course of 81 games. So it was a very encouraging attendance year, I think, for the WBC. Will we maybe see some format changes? Perhaps. I think, Elliot, the ultimate would be you play the preliminary rounds during the course of spring training, and then you play the semis and the finals at the All-Star break. I think now that home field advantage has graciously been uncoupled from the All-Star game result, I think we're maybe seeing more of a possibility of integrating the WBC into the All-Star game festivities. So maybe that's the way things go in the next 4 years, but all signs, Elliot, seem to be that we're going to see this tournament happen again 4 years hence, 2021, 2020, of course, the Olympics. Baseball's back in the Olympics. MLB participation is still very much up in the air about exactly what they're going to do. But I do think, in general, a very bold agenda I'm hearing about in the next few years, whether it's going to Mexico or London, potentially, we've seen reported. So they certainly want to be very aggressive with their overall plan. And I think one point I'll make as well is that the notion of international expansion is very real right now for MLB at some point in the next 5 or 10 years. And that's where if the stadium situations get resolved in both Oakland and Tampa Bay, then you could see whether it's Montreal and Mexico City or wherever the international destination end up being, that I think getting to that round number of 32 is a very appealing one for the league. And I think that the WBC conversation and just growing the game internationally fits into that conversation too.
We have about 30 seconds, so give me something on Ian Kinsler. He kind of walked back comments post-game that he made to the New York Times. I'm not sure it was a great look for him, but we've all been there. Maybe he didn't explain himself the way he wanted to. How did you view it?
Well, Greg, it was interesting controversy, obviously, because I think it was more Ian talking about how he was proud of the U.S. brand of baseball, so to speak, than he was, I think, denigrating anybody else. But I certainly understand why people took offense to it. I think, Greg, the one thing that this tournament shows is there are it's a big baseball world, a lot of different ways to play. I'm personally a big fan of letting the expression happen and really incorporating that into the overall entertainment value of the game. But I think I differ in opinion a little bit with Ian, but I think ultimately, Greg, it'll be forgotten in time in the midst of a U.S. win that I think was badly needed for the tournament's overall future.